A third annual Lamar's Shop Save gift promotion was held again this year. Shoppers in the community could pay $5 to get specials in participating stores from November 16th through December 12th. The shopper then could choose one organization to receive the $5 donation from the purchase price. The three groups were the Lamar's Backpack Program, Youth for Christ, and Josh's Ride. Checks were presented Friday at the Lamar's Chamber of Commerce. Josh's Ride received $915, Lamar's Backpack Program $705, and the Youth for Christ Program received $435. Thanks to all the Lamar's shoppers for supporting the Shop Save Give promotion and for shopping local. Fairway Grocery Stores is wanting to make the holiday season a little brighter for the Lamar's small business operators. Revenue is down for many of the small businesses due to the COVID-19 virus. Fairway has donated $2,000 worth of gift cards to the Lamar's Chamber of Commerce. Each card has a value of $50 and will be given to 40 selected Lamar's businesses. Those cards will be distributed on Monday. The Lamar's Fire and Rescue Department responded to a field fire Friday afternoon. The call was received at around 5:12 p.m. Firefighters went to the 24,000 block of 160th Street. Fire Chief Dave Shippers says a controlled brush fire got out of control and began burning crop stubble at an adjoining field. Firefighters were on the scene for approximately 45 minutes. Earlier this week, the Lamar's Community Board of Education heard from Rachel Levitt, the school district's curriculum director, as she presented data and information to the board regarding the school's annual report. Levitt says that the school has either been able to meet or come very close to its educational proficiency goals. However, Levitt says that due to the outbreak of the COVID-19 virus and the dismissal of classes in March, students were not able to take a statewide evaluation test.
I think considering what a very different and unprecedented year last year was heading into this year, I think our students and staff are doing some really great things. Typically, we look at, let's just say specifically for elementary, we look at our ISASP scores from last year in combination with our local assessments. So that way we're not putting too much weight into just one assessment. And as everybody knows, last year school closure prevented us from administering ISASP, and that statewide assessment would have been our second administration of that new assessment. So with that piece taken out, we really are focusing our efforts on our FAST assessment, and our FAST assessment is a K-5 literacy screening where we really pinpoint what students are struggling, where they're struggling, and what programming we can offer to support those students.
Levitt talks about those FAST deficiency results.
So part of the results that I presented in the annual progress report was our K-5 FAST results from last year. And the challenging thing is typically our FAST local assessment has three screening windows, fall, winter, and spring for our K-5 students, but we obviously did not get in our spring assessment. So at the board meeting, I discussed where our students were last fall and where they landed in the winter time. And with that screening window in particular, we were above the AEA in all of our scores, and we were pretty close. Our goal is always 80% of our students being proficient and meeting those goals. We did not quite make it in our scores, and I think one of the reasons is simply we didn't have the entire year to show growth.
Levitt believes the students' learning curve suffered a setback when classes were dismissed last March.
To be honest, I think it's significant. Our students were out of school for 6 months almost, and while we attempted to provide the best remote education possible, we know that it's not the same as face-to-face instruction. So we were very aware that when we met students at the end of August, beginning of September, that there were definitely some gaps that we had to fill, you know, academically, socially, emotionally. And I think our teachers and principals are seeing that in the classroom, and we've also taken one screening for FAST this year, and our scores were lower than what we would want them to be, but I think it's understandable considering the amount of time that our students had off last year.
Levitt says scores from the middle school and high school were similar to those scores reported from the elementary grades. The Lamar's Community Curriculum Director says Lamar's has been fortunate through the years to have a high daily attendance as well as a low dropout rate and with high graduation rate.
our graduation rate is absolutely phenomenal. And as I had said at the board meeting, Iowa has one of the top graduation rates in the nation already, and we are far surpassing the state's average of 91%. We're sitting at about 97% consistent, 97%, 98% consistently every year. And I think that's a testament to the programming and support that we have for every student, including our at-risk students. So whether we, whether students are placed in the Success Center during the day to get extra help, we have online classes for students. We have the Alternative Learning Center where students have some difficult home situations or academic situations that they can find some success there. Our counseling staff, our guidance department is really on top of our student needs. So I think the personnel and the resources that we're putting into our at-risk dropout programs as well as our post-secondary plans for our kids is really paying off.
Publications of the Lamars Community School District's annual progress report will be printed and distributed to the public within the next few weeks. Iowa Falls-based Iowa Select Farms wrapped up its Operation Christmas Meal program this week, having passed out 17,000 free pork loins to needy Iowans during a dozen events across the state. Jen Sorensen at Iowa Select says that there were long lines of cars and trucks at every stop, but the pandemic has made such a difficult year for so many Iowans who have lost their jobs or lost income.
When you think about schools not being in session and children, that's their chance to get a lunch and sometimes a breakfast too. And this is when you start to see hunger levels really spike.
When the times get tougher, she says it gets harder for Iowa families to make ends meet.
Oftentimes when you don't have enough money, it's protein and produce that get cut out of diets because those are expensive. Lean protein is expensive. And so being able to give away a pork loin really helps fulfill that need.
Iowa families that have never had to take items from a food pantry before are finding it difficult to cope financially this year, and those who have benefited from this program make the meat stretch as far as possible.
We hear that back from families. You know, you gave us this pork loin, we were able to make it into two or three really great meals, and that's what we really like to hear.
This is the fourth year of the program, which made stops this month in Marshalltown, Hampton, Osage, Carroll, Storm Lake, Rockwell City, Mount Air, Osceola, Humiston, Webster City, Fort Dodge, and Iowa Falls.